I'm here with Alexander McCall-Smith, author of the number one Ladies Detective Agency series and more recently the Edinburgh-based series 44 Scotland Street. Can you tell us just briefly about your new series?
Well, I do four series of books altogether. There's the number one Ladies Detective Agency series, which has been going for a number of years now. And then there are three other series. There's 44 Scotland Street, which is a serial novel which appears in The Scotsman for 6 months of the year and then comes out in book form. And then there's a series of books, the Isabel Dalhousie or Sunday Philosophy Club series, also set in Edinburgh, one book a year in that. And then there's a series called the Portuguese Irregular Verb series. And I'm going to write a fourth book in that series, that latter series, later on in this year.
Did you envision such popularity with all this work?
No, I didn't. No, I think that it was a very pleasant surprise. Obviously, authors like their books to be written. Sorry, let me correct that. Authors like their books to be read. They do like them to be written as well. But it obviously was a great surprise for me because my books suddenly took off and I suddenly discovered that I had this very wide readership for which I was most grateful.
Madame Precious Remotswe and Olive and Bertie from the 44 Scotland Street seem to strike a real chord with your readers. Where did you get the inspiration from?
Well, Mara Motswe, who's the heroine of the number one Ladies Detective Agency series, represents many women like that who are in Botswana. So when I lived in Botswana, I met many women who had those qualities. And in a sense, writing about her, I'm just chronicling the lives of those people. Bertie, who's become very popular in the 44 Scotland Street series, I didn't plan him. He just walked into my life, and I discovered that I rather liked Bertie. He's a six-year-old boy who has the most dreadful mother. Bertie's remained six for the last 4 years, actually. That's an additional issue, but I'm not planning for him to get any older.
Do you have any plans to set your stories in other cities of Scotland?
Well, I don't think so. I think that there's enough for me to write about in Edinburgh. And, of course, if I set them in other cities in Scotland, I will get it wrong. You know, I think that if you're going to write about Dundee, you have to be Dundonian or go and live in Dundee. And similarly with Glasgow, I think you'd have to be a very brave person coming from Edinburgh to write about Glasgow. In fact, I wouldn't recommend it.
Actually, from the event that I attended, I got the impression that maybe you're having a sly dig at Glasgow. Do you fear that you maybe alienate your West Coast readers?
And I hope not. I mean, I would never have a dig at Glasgow. I think you were misunderstanding the situation. I was being constructive about Glasgow and complimentary about Glasgow. I actually like Glasgow, so I would never take a dig at Glasgow. Of course, there's this traditional rivalry between Edinburgh and Glasgow, which is a bit of nonsense and is just fun, but I don't think there's any serious difference of opinion between the two places.
Anthony Kiedis of the band Red Hot Chili Peppers described your books as a great read. Do you prefer this type of review to the broadsheet ones?
Well, I'm very happy to get any review at all. I mean, I think it's always very interesting to hear how books are received. That particular literary critic, who is also a guitarist in the Red Hot Chili Peppers, that is a man known as Mr. Flea. And Mr. Flea reads my books, and I'm delighted. And I've met him, and I was very pleased when he gave me a recommendation.
Anthony Minghella is making a film of the number one Ladies Detective Agency, and Jill Scott is going to be playing the lead. Are you familiar with her work?
Jill Scott, I'm not familiar with her work as a jazz singer, but I obviously went off to find out a little bit about her when I realised that she was being cast as Mara Motswe. Jill Scott is, I think, a very fine actress. I've seen some of the excerpts of what they've already filmed, and I must say I'm most impressed. So that by me is great.
Do you feel a certain affinity with other Edinburgh writers?
Yes, I think that obviously we share a city, and we may have slightly different views of the city, but nonetheless, Edinburgh writers, yes, I would have affinity with them. Obviously, some I know better than others, but no, I think there's a lively literary scene in Edinburgh, and long may that continue.
You've been a professor of medical law. How did you make the transition to best-selling author?
Really by accident, in that I hadn't foreseen that this would happen. But when the books really took off, I obviously then had to decide whether I had enough time to continue to do both things, and I thought that I really should devote myself to writing at this stage in my career.
You clearly have no problem with writer's block. How do you manage to be so prolific?
Well, I'm very fortunate, I suppose, in the sense that I find that I can write relatively quickly, and that I think is a great help. When I sit down to write, I suppose I don't really have to sit there and think too much about what I'm going to write about. But the subconscious mind, I think, takes over, and I find it just all comes out, which is obviously very fortunate, and I'm very aware of my good fortune in that respect.
You raise sales of Redbush tea by 73% in 3 years. Do you have a sponsorship deal with them?
No, I don't. I'm delighted that more people are drinking Redbush tea as a result of my books. I think that the books, I'm told, have transformed the situation for this particular tea, which is produced only in one part of Southern Africa. And so it's very nice that they've been given this boost, this economic boost. I don't benefit at all from that. I have entered into two separate agreements with tea manufacturers for promotions, but the profits all went to in the first case, the first promotion, we built a school in a remote part of Southern Africa, and the current promotion with the tea manufacturers and the supermarkets, the funds are going to the Kalahari People's Fund, which is a charity which works with San people in Southern Africa, Bushmen in Southern Africa. So the tea is benefiting those people, and I'm delighted about that.
With success comes the loss of anonymity. Do you resent the intrusion?
Not if it's well meant. I mean, obviously, one's privacy is intruded upon, or one loses one's privacy. I think that is something that you have to accept as going with this particular sort of activity, and I accept that. I think that obviously, you know, one still wants to have a private life, and people don't seem to make that impossible. So that's fine by me.
Do you hope that 44 Scotland Street will become as famous as 22B Baker Street?
Well, I think it's very kind of you to suggest that that would even be possible. I think it's impossible. But I'm delighted that Scotland Street is attracting attention, that people are going down to take a look at it, because it's in a very nice part of the Edinburgh New Town. 44 Scotland Street, of course, doesn't exist. Scotland Street stops short of 44, just, of course, as Baker Street doesn't include Sherlock Holmes's number. So I think as long as people going to look at Scotland Street are not noisy or otherwise unpleasant, that's absolutely fine. I don't really feel much kinship with Conan Doyle, other than that I admire his work. I think he's obviously was a very considerable and important writer, and there's a great deal in the Sherlock Holmes novels. They're extremely interesting, and there's a lot of meat in them. I tend not to write, I suppose, whodunits in the sense in which Conan Doyle did. I mean, I don't really regard myself as a crime writer. I mean, some of my books deal with the lives of detectives, but really not in the mystery sense.
Very much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank
indeed.
You. That was Alexander McCall-Smith, interviewed by Louisa Donaldson at the Edinburgh International Book Festival on the 13th of August, 2007.